On Saturday, the church marked 10 years since World Youth Day in Toronto, the last World Youth Day attended by Blessed John Paul II. Father Thomas Rosica was one of the priests most responsible for bringing World Youth Day to Canada. He spoke to Christopher Wells about the lasting impact of the event.
This has been a very significant week because it's been 10 years, so it's kind of an opportunity for us to relive the whole event in the preparatory phase to the event itself, to the aftermath of the event. So as I look back over it, it was certainly a huge amount of work, a tremendous blessing for each of us personally on the staff, and a great grace and blessing for me personally, because I knew we were about something. We were sowing seeds. We didn't know the full impact of what this event would be for the country. It's like a timed-released capsule. And little by little, it's coming to life in ways that we least expected. And one of the most significant ways, as Cardinal Stafford told us, one of the most significant legacies and fruits of any of the World Youth Days has been the establishment of a national Catholic television network in the country. So we were really born on the wings of World Youth Day, and it continues to carry the message forward.
Your national Catholic network now has been tremendously successful. Where are you at with that? What's happening that's new in Canada with that new means of communication?
Well, Salt and Light was born the year after World Youth Day. It came about really in a most surprising way. We started it with young people. We built the network on the foundations of the World Youth Day and involved many of the key staff. In fact, many of the key people that are with me right now were part of the World Youth Day planning team. And what we tried to do was to keep the message alive, not only as a nostalgic message, but also the method we employed during World Youth Day was to involve young adults at the core of the planning. I think in the church today, there are many people who like to do things for young adults, many well-meaning adults, priests, bishops, or whatever, let's do something for young people. My method was a little bit different because I watched John Paul II very closely. John Paul II believed in young people and entrusted to them great things. And so we entrusted the preparation of World Youth Day to a team of young adults, and I've entrusted the preparation and execution of Salt and Light to young adults. And it's borne fruits that, you know, it kind of blows people away when you stop and think what's happening. We have a team, in fact, this week. One of our journalist teams is in Niger in Africa, doing a big story on the role of the church in Niger. And I said to my, they wrote me yesterday, I remember reading the message last night thinking, this is what it's about. These are young adults in their 20s and early 30s who are there in Niger with the Archbishop doing some significant things and telling people about the famine, about solidarity, about issues of justice and peace.
And Father, you mentioned Blessed Pope John Paul II, who is obviously the inspiration behind the idea of World Youth Days. Toronto was the last World Youth Day that he was at. What is the significance of that being his last World Youth Day, and then moving on to continue that tradition in a new pontificate?
I've been watching on television this week all of the programs and the reruns. We've been airing all of the ceremonies from 2002, and what struck me last night, particularly watching the welcoming ceremony at the airport and also the rally on the Thursday of 2002, John Paul II came to us. He was in a very bad state. He was physically diminished. He was suffering, and nothing prevented him from reaching out. In fact, I think it was the suffering and the pain and the immobility and you know, the slow words and everything that endeared people to himself. He left his imprint on the city. I mean, this is a multicultural city. This is an extremely complex, secular environment. But for those days that he was here, he won the whole population. I mean, Christian, Muslim, Jewish. And when we show all of the ceremonies this week, there's been a flood of emotions, of messages, of letters. Yesterday, just trying to keep up with some of the responses of people saying, we were blessed to have this event 10 years ago. We needed it more than we ever knew.
And can you then explain to us a little bit more about the impact of World Youth Day, of that huge event for the life of Toronto, the church in the city, but also the church throughout Canada?
We needed the event, as I said, more than we knew. If you look at the historical backdrop of the preparation period, we had September the 11th several months beforehand, which plummeted the world in fear and in terror and in all kinds of serious questions. We had the scandals that erupted in Boston in January 2002. We had every possible challenge you can think of. And yet when the event happened, and many people said it wouldn't happen and it wasn't going to happen, the world stopped, the world came to Toronto, and we realized that the World Youth Day is not just an event for the Roman Catholic Church. It is a profound school of justice and peace. It brings people together in ways that no other human agency is able to do, not even the Olympic Games. It unites people. It is a bridge to the past, the present, and the future. It brings out the best in people. And when people saw the event happen and afterwards, there was a common refrain that came from every sector of society here saying, bring it back. We need that event. From the police to the transit workers to the garbage collectors to the hotel innkeepers and everybody else, people realized there was a certain goodness that comes with that event. And I think that's part of the genius of the mind of Blessed John Paul II in causing this event to happen. He once told me when we were at Castel Gandolfo, laughing, kidding, he said, questo evento è un bel pretesto. This is a beautiful pretext for something else. I remember smiling, thinking it certainly is.
And finally, Father, can you tell us, you've mentioned that it's not just an event in the past, it's just not just about nostalgia or memories, it's something that's ongoing and continuing, and the impact is lasting. Where do you see the Church, especially in Canada, going from here as part of the legacy of World Youth Day?
The World Youth Day taught us that it can't be business as usual any longer in terms of the Church's relationship with young people. If the World Youth Day didn't cause some radical changes in the ways that we deal with young people, involve them, empower them, catechize them, evangelize them, then we didn't learn anything. So I think what the World Youth Day has done here, and it's been a slow process, is in one diocese to the other, from one end of this vast country to the other, people have reviewed young adult ministry. In some places, it's been very successful. I think of the tremendous work in the Archdiocese of Vancouver. I think of the great, great youth ministry in the Archdiocese of Edmonton. I think of the powerful witness in Montreal, which is a very complex culture and society. And the young woman who worked was in charge of youth ministry there was on our World Youth Day staff. And it's one of the most vibrant youth ministries in the country. From one place to another, it puts the focus on young adults. It also asks us as a church how we involve young adults in the leadership of the church. How do we involve young adults in catechesis and evangelization? Not just turning to them and asking a question, but really empowering them. It also helps us to make the bridges between young adult ministry, vocational ministry, solid preparation for marriage. I mean, the catechetical components of World Youth Day, they provide the core of what youth ministry should be. The scriptures, the sacraments, the saints, devotion and piety, social justice. And the World Youth Day is a great wake-up call. And I hope that as church, we learn how to exercise the proper evaluative methods in looking at World Youth Days. Because if we only base it on numbers, or how many hosts were consecrated, or how many confessions were heard, then we're playing the game of the world. But we need to look seriously at the core and see how have these elements penetrated all of our efforts in youth ministry, young adult ministry, working with young people.
Thank you very much, Father. You mentioned in your email you're doing a lot of programming for the 10th anniversary at Salt and Light.
Huge. You can watch it all live streaming, too, on our website. The first thing, we got CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting mm-hmm. Corporation, to give us all of the ceremonies because they were the host broadcaster. So each day we're airing everything. We also put together a year ago a massive website called wybcentral.org, which is the compilation of all of the histories of World Youth Days with all of the contents. We did that in preparation for Madrid, and there's been millions of people that have visited that because no other site exists of that nature. And then we taped four big programs last week here in Toronto in French and English, mm-hmm. and they're airing right now. They've also been placed on YouTube about remembering World Youth Day. We went back last week to the sites on University Avenue and the sites where different mm-hmm. events happened and did a really nice retrospective.